1 Corinthians chapter 15. I've been reading through the church epistles, and there's a lot of good news in these epistles, and it really, one of the things that really struck me, and it's, I've thought about this before, but it's what an awesome privilege to be able to make known the gospel, make known the good news, and it's specifically, it's that good news regarding Jesus Christ, what God's accomplished through Jesus Christ. You know, a couple weeks ago we looked at Romans, and we saw that that gospel of God, that gospel regarding Jesus Christ, is the power of God. It's the righteousness of God. Isn't that something? It's what makes those things known. And we're just going to look at a few verses this morning regarding that gospel and what it does. And one of the things that we're going to see is that it's not, we herald or we preach, we make it known, we announce. I don't have to be a master of words like Charles Spurgeon. I don't have to have the booming voice of a John Wesley. But I can make known God's word. I can make known God's love. And then what you see is, because it's God's word, He works. Listen, I make known, and I do that in a number of ways, and we'll consider that a little bit this morning too. But by making it known, I'm directing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. See? And then God takes it from there. Isn't that beautiful? It's pretty awesome. But I wanted to start here in 1 Corinthians 15. There's a lot of things that have gone on in the book of Corinthians. And, you know, boy, just great love being demonstrated here by the Father. And the things that are being addressed to the Corinthian believers. But in chapter 15... And we're going to, I think we're going to come back here to close, because it really kind of, it's a chapter on the gospel of God regarding Jesus Christ. It really is. Verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare," which means, simply means to make known. "I make known the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you what? Wherein you stand. By which?" By that gospel. "You are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." A better translation of this. It says, "With what word did I preach the gospel to you? You'll remember if you're holding it, unless you have believed for no reason." See? And the word that Paul came to them with was that word, or that good news regarding Jesus Christ and what had been accomplished in him. I want you to turn, if you would, with me to the Gospel of Mark. I just wanted to read this. Mark. I love the way the Gospel of Mark starts. The word "the" is actually not in the text.
Chapter 1,
verse 1. So it would read, beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Isn't that great? As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, "There comes one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose." There's great meaning in that statement. "I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with Holy Spirit." And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And so it begins. Where Jesus Christ would fulfill all that the Scriptures said. Where Jesus Christ would fulfill all the law. Where Jesus Christ would be tempted in all points, just like we are. See? Isn't that something? This is the beginning. This is where he did. This is what he did. And then he offered himself as a sacrifice. That's what it talks about in Romans. See? Paul was separated under the gospel of God regarding his son, Jesus Christ, who was marked out as the Son of God by what?
Resurrection.
See? So he offered his life. God gets him up 3 days later. See? He rises from the dead. That's what marks him out as the Son of God. I want you to turn, please, if you will, to John. This is a familiar verse. We're going to see the opposite of this pretty quick. John chapter 3. Verse 16. And this simply put is the why. For God so what? Loved. For God so loved. So loved the world, which is put for everybody that's in it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 26. I mentioned Romans 1, where it says that Paul was separated under the gospel of God. And you learn in Romans that that gospel of God is regarding Jesus Christ. And we're going to read a little snippet of that in Acts chapter 26. What did I say? 28? 26. Did I say 26? Well, by golly, I got one right. All right. Paul is describing his trip to Damascus. And the purpose of that trip was to imprison those who had called on the name of Jesus Christ. And on his way, verse 13, it says, "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, who you persecute. But rise and stand upon thy feet for this purpose. And here's the purpose. To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Now we know from the book of Galatians that Paul received the gospel regarding Jesus Christ from Jesus Christ. That's something. Verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. Verse 18. Now here's the result. This will be the result of that which Jesus Christ is sending Paul to do. To open their eyes. To turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. To turn them from the power of Satan unto the power of who? God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified or separated out or made holy among them which are sanctified by believing that is in me. Isn't that? That's a powerful, that's a verse that's fun to unpack right there. Isn't it? But the point is that's the result of the gospel regarding Jesus Christ. It opens people's eyes. It turns them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto the power of God. See? And the end of it is an inheritance with Jesus Christ. That's a powerful word, isn't it? That's a powerful word. You know, when we read in Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what Mark does is it just simply begins. This is what happened. Behold my servant. Voice cries in the wilderness. Then this happened. Jesus Christ comes. It was a voice from heaven. It says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You read what Jesus Christ did. God got him up from the dead. We know that because we have spirit. So the point of my pointing this out is the gospel is not a new religion. The gospel isn't a religion among other religions. That is one of the ways in which the adversary, which we'll read about in a few minutes, blinds the minds of them. That's one of the ways in which he covers what it is. The gospel regarding Jesus Christ is the good news regarding Jesus Christ and what he did. The gospel doesn't come from the one who preaches it, the one who makes it known. The gospel doesn't come from It didn't come from Paul. It's what happened. Isn't that wonderful thing? Just you think about that and how incredible that is. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2. There's so many scriptures we could turn to, but as I was reading, this one just sort of struck me, blessed me. You know, I opened with saying the gospel regarding Jesus Christ is simply the truth. It's the word of God, and this is what God has done on behalf of men, for men. It's simply the truth. And we make it known, or we declare it. And then God is the one that works in the heart. My job is not to convince somebody to believe. It's just not. If I have a job, it's to love and it's to speak regarding Jesus Christ. That's what I do. That's what you do. You know? We're going to read in a few... Well, I'll save that. Let's just read this. I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Talking about forgiveness here. And in verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened up to me of the Lord. Okay, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Watch what God does here. This is just so awesome. Verse 8 of 16. Well, let's start in verse 6. When they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost, of Holy Spirit, to preach the word in Asia. After they were come... Now see, who's overseeing this?
Holy Spirit.
Right, isn't that awesome? Don't go to Asia. Don't go. Now, would there be a time? Yeah, there would be. There would be. Later. Isn't that something? How God just watches over this thing? Because the time would come years later where all of Asia would hear the word regarding Jesus Christ. Ah! But not now. See, God's working. This is just so awesome. We're reading about that door that opens. They've gone through these regions. And after they came to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit said, no, don't go there either. Isn't this something? And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed or begged him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. You know where he landed? There was a little place in Macedonia called Philippi. Ever hear of it? That's something. How God works. How God oversees this thing. See, he watches over his word. We make it known. God works in the heart. Isn't that something? And you read these records, and it's thrilling. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, before we read this, I want you to turn. Keep your finger if you've already landed in 2 Corinthians 4, because we're coming back. I want to read Ephesians chapter 6, please. This is a section I think that most of us are familiar with here. Toward the end of this great epistle of Ephesians, verse 10, it's finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand or stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world or this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places or from on high. Wherefore, because of this, because it's a spiritual thing, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is vital. Understanding your righteousness that came by Jesus Christ is vital. It's vital to standing. It's vital to our growth in God's word. It's vital to our accepting, you know, teaching from God's word so that we can grow. Understanding our righteousness. And that when and where we're wrong and we need to grow, we need to change, we're what?
Righteous.
Right. Really something. Anyway.
And your feet shod, and this is where I wanted to get to, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of what?
Peace.
Of peace. Your feet shod with preparation. You're ready. You're ready. There are any number of ways in which we're ready. We build the word regarding Jesus Christ in our hearts, right? Absolutely. And we put that word on in our hearts so that we begin to live it. Right? That's right. We begin to live that. And you know, people see that. We begin to do things out of a reverence for our Lord Jesus Christ and out of reverence for our God who's accomplished what he's accomplished through Jesus Christ. And we begin to live that stuff. We begin to love. Where once, you know, we were in a tizzy about everything, you know, you start to get a little more confidence in your Heavenly Father, a little more confidence in prayer, what he's made you see, and those things begin to show. They begin to manifest. And you know, people see that. They see that. And many times they want to know. And you know where you direct them? To your great life. No.
God's great life.
That's right. You direct them to Jesus Christ. See, we preach not ourselves, but what? And anything that we have by standing on God's word, by building God's word, by believing God's word, it's all from God's word. And what Jesus Christ made available, right? So that's where we take people, see? So we're ready to speak, but we're also putting it out in our hearts. We're manifesting it. We're living it. People see it. They see it. See? All these different things are all part of making known the gospel of peace. And oh, what peace it is. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. We make known, we announce it. There's a word that's translated preach. I think it's caruso, or one of the forms of that word. And it just, it's a herald. Their responsibility was to declare or to make known that which one in authority wanted made known, like a king. You know, hear ye, hear ye. And then he would say what it was the king wanted said. That's something. That's what we do. That's what we do. You know, Jesus Christ died for you. You're totally forgiven. You believe on him. I can say with all authority, God loves you. Even if they're not a believer. Isn't that something? I can say that. No, he doesn't. Well, he does. Yeah, he does. And, you know, God can work. God can work. Isn't that something? We just speak. That's how we participate in this thing. It's really something. And the stakes are huge. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost or are perishing. in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And that word minds is, it's the thinking, the way they think, the thinking process. Which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Shine unto them. That good news regarding Jesus Christ is light. People are in darkness. You know, do you see the difference between this and John 3:16? You know, in whom the god of this age, you know, blinds the minds of them that are perishing. For God so loved, the true God so what? Loved that he gave his only begotten son. That's something. See, the stakes are high. So we speak regarding Jesus Christ. We speak regarding the gospel. And this is where we land. It's right here. We preach not ourselves, but who? Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? See? You know, we read about this in Acts, to turn them from the power of Satan unto the power of God. From darkness to what? To light. And God works. We speak, God works. We build, God works. We build that word in our hearts, God works. We don't have the responsibility of causing someone to believe. Sometimes you involve your heart and you want for people. The greatest thing we can do is pray when it comes to that kind of stuff. You just pray. And I think that's what the word says somewhere. Something about that all men might be saved. See, that's what we do. We speak God's word and then we pray. It's kind of neat. Let's look at Philippians 1. We're almost done. Just going to read a couple more verses. This is great stuff to just think about, though, isn't it? You know, for that, you know, sometimes your mind, just the world, it's just, you get all this other information and sometimes we just don't, we lose sight of the significance of what it is we have to offer people. We lose sight of the stakes here. They're real and they're eternal. This is really temporary. This is not the point here. That's coming. We really are coming back with Jesus Christ. We really are. We're really going to be with him. We really are. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's really going to happen. And, you know, and those are the things that are at stake. It's wonderful to enjoy the blessings of knowing some of these things now, but that is not the point. Philippians 1. Verse 27. There's such a great context of this, but I just want to hit one thing in here. Verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Let your conversation, your, basically what it means is to live as a citizen of the gospel. That's something. We live as citizens of the gospel. We're hopers. We're lovers. See, we're people who are at peace with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. We're people who live like we have the access to God that we do. People who have been had great grace bestowed upon them. That's how we live. All that's part of that gospel regarding Jesus Christ. Isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. So we live as a citizen of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, this is wonderful. You know, this gospel, it's regarding Jesus Christ, and it's regarding his life, what he did, how he paid the price, how he offered himself as a sacrifice at God's command. He gave himself over. He was tempted on all points. God raised him from the dead. Life was given because of that. Spirit and that great hope. All of that is all part of that good news. Isn't that awesome? Verse 3 says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your believing in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope, or because of the hope, which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Isn't that great? You know, we're going to close the second Timothy here. We opened in 1 Corinthians 15, and regarding that gospel that Paul declared. And it goes on how that Jesus Christ was crucified, how that he died and God rose him, raised him from the dead 3 days later. And then he was seen of Cephas, and then of about 500 brethren at once. And it goes on to talk about that. But 1 Corinthians 15 ends with the hope. And in the twinkling of an eye. Wherefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's all part of that good news, that gospel. But I wanted to close here in 2 Timothy. I should turn there. Chapter 1. Speaking to Timothy. Verse 8 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." This therefore is, it goes back to verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That word fear is a word for cowardice. Then it says, "Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ." The testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the testimony regarding our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel regarding Jesus Christ, are facts that are true. It's what he did. It's then what God did. And it is now what we have. Isn't that awesome? So we don't get sucked in to how the God of this age tries to cover that. Tries to lump it in with everything else. See? You know why there is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved outside of the name of Jesus Christ? You know why? I'll tell you why. because there is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved. That's the truth. Okay. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That's the standard, the power of God, which we have and have access to, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, for God so loved, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's something. Jesus Christ says, abolished death. And there's a day coming. And that's when we get to say, hey, death, where's your sting now? Grave, where's your victory now? That day will come. It just will. It's the truth. See, and so when we speak the gospel, when we make known Jesus Christ, it is simply the truth. That's why we say it with such authority. We say it with authority because it's the truth. We don't speak God's word in light of what we think they may think or what we're afraid they might think. Let God handle that. Let God work. He's good at it. He's a professional. He's been doing this a long time. He's been working in the hearts of men for a long time. See? So when you see it and you look at this stuff, you just realize, man, what a privilege we have. You know? To make life available to somebody. Just to make life available. It's pretty awesome, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got something to be thankful for there.